time for Thanksgiving. Whew. It was wonderful. I had a great time. My wife and my family and I were at my in-laws in Reserve, Louisiana, if you know where that is. I'm sorry. We did have a good time. I'm glad that you guys are here today. If you don't know me, my name's Todd. I'm the pastor. I want to welcome you here. If you're a guest, thank you for coming. I hope you feel welcome. And here's what we ask of you. Just fill out a connection card that gives you an opportunity to connect with us and us with you. And if you are here and you fill that out, I can say that you will get a really cool gift in the mail, so you don't really want to miss that because it's really delicious, actually. And today, I'm excited to continue on with our series, Thanks a Lot, really Thanksgiving a Lot. But before I do that, I want to talk about two things. And the first one you probably saw when you came in, it was the giving wall. Did anybody see that? Like three of y'all. It's like big, it's bright, it's got lights, it's probably blinking, and there are people in front of it saying, check out the giving wall. So if you didn't see it, I'm sorry. So here's what we're doing for Christmas. We're going to be partnering with three institutions. One is Ralph Wilson Elementary School, the other is J.J. Johnson Elementary School, and then Landmark Nursing Home, which is right over here about a block, I think, one block, actually. And we are going to be partnering with them so that we can make sure that both kids that really would have nothing in their stocking and nothing for Christmas, that we get to partner with public schools. Isn't that cool? We get to partner with public schools and making sure that these kids are loved, and we get to show God's love to them, as well as the people at Landmark. And so you'll have the opportunity to go to the giving wall and connect with either a child or an elderly person, and they have explaining everything, one of these little handouts. You can either purchase the gifts and wrap them up, or you can donate $50 to do that if you say, I just want to give towards that. They need to be given by December 11th. The presents need to be dropped off, but either the 16th or the 17th. On 16th, that's a Friday, we're delivering to schools. You'll probably want to be a part of that. And on the 17th, we're delivering to the nursing home. So I'm really excited about that outreach because we know the truth. It is better to give than to receive, isn't it? Isn't that, y'all know who said that, right? Come on, it's the church answer. Everybody knows, the little kids. If you don't know the answer, what do you answer? Jesus. Jesus said that. He said, it's better to give than to receive. And that's my heart for you with the giving wall, is that you can get connected into giving. Because when you get to the place where you're giving of yourself and being a blessing to other people, there's something inside of you that brings fulfillment. And that's my heart as a pastor, is to see you fulfill the purpose for which God created you. And let me just tell you this. Like, life is not about you. Oh, that's painful. But it's true, and it's a lesson that we all have to learn. And every teenager has to go through that season where they have to learn that life is not about them. As anybody, you have teenagers, and you're like, they got to learn. I've had them. I know. I got them. Life is not about us. Let me just tell you, adults, if we're not careful, we'll start thinking life's about us. And it's not. Let's reach out. Let's be a blessing. So that's what's coming for Christmas. That's really here right now. So I'm encouraging you to get plugged into that, because you're going to find out that it really is true. It's better to give than to receive. And the second thing, we're talking about 2017. Can y'all believe it's almost here? Am I the only one that is thinking, wait, 2017? Didn't 2016 just start? 2017 is almost here. We're talking like a month away. And so two things in preparation that I want to prepare you for that are coming in 2017 that are foundationally important to who we are as a church. And here's the first one. It's prayer and fasting. Starting January 1, I am challenging everybody in our church, everybody that calls this place home, everybody that watches online. Y'all know we got actually a large number of people that watch online every week. And so I'm challenging everybody to pray and fast for the first 21 days of January. We're going to be opening up the sanctuary at 6 a.m. and noon for those 21 days, encouraging people to not just pray on their own, but to get together and pray as well. And I'd be willing to bet everybody that can hear my voice that you can probably come at least once in those 21 days. And I'm going to challenge you to come once a week. That's three times to pray, 6 a.m. or noon, to come and pray in this sanctuary. Because let me just tell you, when we pray, God moves. And here's the thing. Everybody's like, oh, we just want God to move. Look, God wants to move. He's waiting for his people to get on board and start moving with him. And that's my heart for you, that we can come together and seek God. When you seek God, you'll find him. And for the fasting, we'll put our fasting guide online. You don't have to give up like all food and just drink water for 21 days. You can if you want. That's pretty hardcore and intense. Some of you probably just need to give up Facebook or Instagram or Twitter and stop raging online and causing drama or listening to it. Everybody's real quiet on that. I think maybe I hit a nerve. Somebody's Facebooking right now, Pastor Todd says. prayer and fasting. Why are we doing that? Because when you seek God, you find him. And then secondly, when people come together, now we're talking Acts chapter 2. When people come together with the same heart to see God do something really big, not just in them, but in the world around them, he does because they're together. And let me just tell you, the power of together is huge. It's huge. Go read Acts chapter 2. When people were together waiting on God, God shows up. And I just really believe 2017, that's what God's got for us right out the gate, January 1. We're also starting a new series. This is the second thing that I'm giving you a heads up on for 2017. It's our Restart Sermon Series. However, the sermon series is really, it's secondary to the small groups that we're going to be establishing starting now, getting in preparation for January. And those small groups start the week of January 8th. And here's the thing, you may say, well, I've been in a small group. I guess I can be in one again. I don't want you to just be in a small group. I want everybody here to host a small group. And here's why. Because when we start reaching out to our friends, to our family, to our coworkers, man, God does something when we step out in faith. Because I know a lot of people say, well, I can be in a small group, but like, I don't know about hosting a small group. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And when you step out in faith and you step into the realm of the unknown and the scary, and I don't know if I can do this, but you're trusting God, he meets you every time. And when you step out and you say, I think I can host, all you got to do is be able to plug in a DVD player or a flash drive or pull up the videos online, because it's 7 weeks long. There's an intro video by me that's between 7 and 8 minutes long. And then you have a book called Restart that goes in line with the sermon series. And all you do is have to work through that. And here's the thing. It's so much about the connection with God and with other people that all the videos and the books are designed to do is help empower you to be an effective minister. Because let me just tell you, I may be the pastor, but it is my job is to make you do the work of the ministry. And that's biblical too. That's what the Bible says my job is to encourage and inspire people to do the work of the ministry. And let me tell you, you can transform a life simply by hosting a small group. So if you want to host a small group, here's how easy it is. And by the way, there's thorough, comprehensive, yet not very long training so that you can do that and you'll feel comfortable and competent to be able to do it. You can text host to that number right there. There's also a table out in the foyer to the left when you walk out of here. Why am I spending so much time on this? Here's why. Because we can see the world around us transformed. Do we want that is the question. I guess not. Do we want that? That's like saying at the new year, I want to lose weight and get in shape. But we eat Twinkies every day. Don't you respect the people that wake up early and go to the gym and deny themselves what they want so they can become what they want to be, right? Maybe not. Like, I couldn't hear you squishing my Twinkie. No, come on now. God, let me tell you right now, God's called us to this. And in all seriousness, 2017 is going to be a great year. But it'll be a great year, not just through happenstance, but because we come together and determine that it will be because we're following God. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I just pray that we can just get a glimpse of what you have for us. Lord, that you can show us individually what you have in store for us and the life that we're living. But Father, you can also show us corporately together what you want to do through us. Father, I just pray that you use us to see this whole area transformed. And may it begin with us right here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, it is a great day. Y'all excited? The weather's been awesome, hasn't it? Everybody hates on Louisiana weather, and I can't say that I'm not one of those that hates on Louisiana weather, but y'all realize we get about 6 months of perfect weather. It just happens like October, November, December, January, February, and March. And it's duck season, so man, you can't go wrong with that. What a better place to live in the winter than Louisiana. On to the message. Getting to the place of gratitude. Getting to the place of gratitude, it's the second part, and it's really the final part of our series. Thanksgiving a lot, but the giving is scratched out because I think a lot of times we find ourselves in situations where you go, thanks a lot, God. What's up with this? Why am I in such a terrible place? Like, you want me to be grateful? How can I do that? Thanks a lot for nothing. Can't you do something, God? Don't you see where I am? And we are only in cynicism able to say thanks a lot. And my heart for all of us here is that we can get to the place where we are genuinely and sincerely grateful for the life that God has for us. Like that we are overflowing with gratitude so that every morning when we wake up and our feet hit the ground, with each foot we go, thank you. And that the first thing that we do is say thank you from a place of sincerity, because our hearts are overflowing with gratitude. But we got to get to that place. And so today I want to look at Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, in a story that if you've been in church any amount of time, you probably heard this story. It's the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus heals. But I want us to look at it hopefully from a fresh perspective, and I want us to be able to get to the place of gratitude. Luke 17, verse 11 says, "As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' He looked at them and said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, 'Praise God!' He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he'd done. This man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And Jesus said to the man, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you.'" Now, gratitude's a pretty powerful thing. But I want us to get to the place where we are grateful regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Because if truth be told, it is easy to focus on the negative, isn't it? Everybody's a critic, right? I mean, everybody can walk into a movie theater and like, oh, well, if they'd have done this, or how about this, man? Like, we can look at football games and go, oh, well, I tell you, if they'd have just done this, we just want armchair quarterback life, don't we? Come on, isn't it easy to be a critic? It's real easy to be a critic. And here's the thing, when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, that critical nature that is inside of us, because honestly it's a sin nature, it just comes out, and it is easy to be negative and critical about the life that we are living, even though God's given us full reign to live the life that we're living. But oftentimes, because of the circumstances that are outside of our control, because of the things that are done to us by another person, or often even the things that we've done that were stupid, we may justify them or not, it doesn't matter, we get to the place where we look at our circumstances and go, how can I be thankful for this? But we can. And I want us to look at this story and recognize we can be thankful for what God's got in store for us. So here's three things. It's fairly simple, but I think there's a level of profoundness that I want us to get. To get to the place of gratitude, because I want you to be grateful. Every morning you wake up, when your feet hit the floor, you're saying thank you, and it's sincere, and you mean it. To get to that place, though, here's what we have to do. We have to understand where you are. That's the first thing we've got to understand. You've got to understand where you are. We look at this story, we see 10 lepers in the outside of the city, and Jesus shows up, and they start yelling at him, "Jesus, have mercy on us." We know the story, he heals them. But I think there's something that's really profound in the first verse. Look at verse 11. It says, "As Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria." He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. You see that, right? The border between Galilee and Samaria. So you may not understand the geography of Israel and biblical geography, but Galilee is in the northern portion of Israel. It's right by the Sea of Galilee, which, and I hope I don't burst anybody's bubble here, but the Sea of Galilee is actually not a sea at all. It's a lake. It's 7 miles wide by 14 miles long, and it's fresh water, surrounded by mountains, really beautiful. But it's not really a sea. And in fact, the Jews then and even now call it Lake Kennesaret, but it's in the region of Galilee. And that is the area that Jesus grew up in. It is the area where Jesus, as the future Messiah, and really the Messiah and God in person at that time, that's where he lived, that's where he grew up. And we see that Jesus is at the border. That's what it says. Jesus reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. So Galilee was the area Jesus grew up, but Samaria is south of Galilee. It's along the Jordan River, and it is primarily a desert. It's noted by two things. Number one, it's primarily desert. Number two, it was inhabited by Samaritans who took a form of the Jewish religion of Judaism, and they kind of messed it up. And it was a little odd, and so there was tremendous tension between the Jews and the Samaritans, not just on geographical boundaries, though there was that. It was also on religious grounds, because the Jews say, listen, you messed up the faith that God gave us and our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were right in that. And the Jews looked with disdain on the Samaritans, and the Samaritans looked with really just hatred towards the Jews. And Jesus comes to the place, the between place, the border between. Galilee, the place of God, that's what it represents. And Samaria, our place, where we're at odds oftentimes with God. And I think this is significant that we look at this. Jesus continued to the border. He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. Why is that significant? Because I think many times that we find ourselves in such a dark place that we think that we're never going to be able to get out of it. That there's nothing that we can do, that we're just stuck in that place. I read last week an article. It's actually kind of crazy. Y'all know people are crazy, right? Not necessarily bad, just sometimes they're crazy. There's a new health trend coming out of California, and I'm not making this up. It's for real. Where you can get in an isolation chamber, which is basically a large pod, like 7 feet long, and it's this big pod with 10 inches of warm water. And you can strip down either to your skivvies, although they recommend that you get in buck naked, which is kind of strange to begin with, and you get into this isolation chamber that's filled with warm water, and then you close the lid, and you sit for that's like $70 an hour to sit in warm water in complete and total deprivation. It's a sensory deprivation chamber, and you can't hear anything, you can't see anything. All you can do is sit for an hour in warm water with no sensory input at all. And like, people are lining up like crazy. These places are booked up on people sitting in warm water in basically a large coffin for an hour for $70. Is it just me, or is that kind of nuts? It's kind of nuts, isn't it? And here's the thing. People love it. And when you read the testimonials of people coming out of these sensory deprivation chambers for an hour, they're like, it was so amazing. I had to put away all distraction. Let's be honest. Like, everything, like, our phone dings us into insanity, doesn't it? Ding, ding. Phone calls, text messages, emails, Facebook. No? Doesn't the world just come at us constantly? And so they get into these dark places where there's nothing coming at them. Like, there's no sensory input, and they all come out and say, I just felt like I could see, and even though it was completely dark, I was able to order my thoughts and get to the place where I could see what I needed to do. And over and over, you read these testimonials, because I know it's kind of strange, but I followed the rabbit trail into what these sensory deprivation chambers, what people were saying about them. Well, what's my point to this message? Sometimes when we think that we are in the darkest place ever, when we think that it couldn't get any worse, that there is no hope, that there's no light, that there's nothing for us, that God will show up in that very place, because Jesus reached the border between his place and the place of Samaria, which is our place. And when we're in the darkest place possible, here's what we've got to get if we're going to understand and we're going to get to the place of gratitude. We've got to know that God meets us. And regardless of how dark it is, you are on the border between what God has for you and where you are. But the tactic of the enemy is to make you feel hopeless. Like, I can't do that. Like, it's so bad. I have nothing to be grateful for. Everything is lost. All hope is lost. Come on, have y'all been there before? It's just so miserable. I just feel like giving up. Don't do that. Know this. Just as Jesus reached the border between his place and the place of those 10 lepers, Jesus today shows up to meet us in our darkest place ever. And something good is coming. If you want to get to the place of gratitude, you got to know where you are. And you are not in as dark and bad of a place as you think. It may be dark. It may be bad. You may have legitimate reasons as to why your circumstances are crummy, either the choices that you've made or the things that have happened to you. They may be completely and totally legitimate. But let me just remind you that Jesus shows up to bring light. And in the darkest place you find yourself, he is there. and you're about to see some light. You got to understand where you are. Here's the second thing. You got to understand who can help you. You've got to understand who can help you. My family and I, we went to Reserve, Louisiana for Thanksgiving. And we left from my parents on Wednesday. We left from my parents' house, which is in Swallow. Nobody really knows where that is, probably. Near Oberlin. If you could take Oberlin and Mamou and like Swallow, like triangulate like Eunice and Mamou, it's kind of right there. And we left from Swallow on Wednesday, and we were going to take I-10 to get to basically Laplace. And I'm thinking to myself, we're kind of close to 190. Maybe we should check and see what's going on I-10, because y'all know the Basin Bridge, right? We all from Louisiana. You ever drive to Baton Rouge or New Orleans, you gotta check to see what the Basin Bridge is doing. Now in the days of Google Maps, anybody use Google Maps? I mean, that's a great thing. So all you have to do is hit the traffic icon and you can see if there's standstill traffic or construction on I-10. Isn't that genius? And I just went, you know what? Let me just check I-10. And when I checked I-10, there was an hour and a half delay between Jennings and Crowley. It was red in both directions. I'm like, well, that's not good. And that wasn't even the Basin Bridge. I just didn't even scroll over to see the Basin Bridge because I'd already gotten the direction that I needed to know that I should not go I-10 and that I should go 190. And it saved us an awful lot of time. And in fact, there was an added benefit where we got to go through the north side of Baton Rouge and miss all of the traffic. So we made it lickety-split. Doesn't it feel good to show up early? Amen. And everybody's like, Pastor, are you talking about me at church? No, I'm actually not. I like Google Maps. Anybody else? Because it shows me where I'm going. It's a tremendous aid and a tremendous help. Here's the thing. Trying to navigate life, you got to know who can help you. You've got to know who can help you. Verse 12, as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They stood at a distance, crying out to Jesus. Why? And they're saying, Jesus, have mercy on us. Okay, number one, they're crying out because they recognize who can help them. Let me just remind you, you need to know that God can actually help you, that Jesus is not some cosmic Santa Claus, that he's for real and he can indeed help you, that he is alive and well and he hears your cries. Why are you standing at a distance? Why were these 10 men standing at a distance? I think it's so applicable for us today. They were standing at a distance because they had leprosy. And if you don't know about leprosy, it's a tremendously devastating disease, at least it used to be, a tremendously devastating disease because it would just cause cellular death. And so it would just begin with a pinprick of white on your nose or your fingers or your ears. And then as it progressed, and there was no cure until recently it's been able to be treated, it would rot away your fingers and your nose, and the cell, it would just die. Your finger would die and would also ultimately rot off. Your ears, your face, it would leave you disfigured, your toes, to where you could hardly walk, and then they had to bandage themselves up. And in the Jewish tradition, they were banned from being around people because they were contagious. And so they would have to be off by themselves. And any time, this was law, any time that they were near people or people came near them, they had to yell out to them, unclean. They had to stand at a distance. Why were these 10 lepers standing at a distance? Because they knew that they were infected. The interesting thing is throughout the Bible, we see leprosy is a picture of sin in our lives. It's just sin. And I think many times we stand at a distance and we look at Jesus and we hesitate to yell because we recognize that we are not clean. And here's the thing, I cannot clean myself. You cannot clean you. Don't we try? Don't we try to get cleaned up to come to God? Come on, do we? It's human. Like I want to get right with God before I get right with God. But it is only God who can cleanse us. We've got to know who can help us, and it is Jesus. But we come to him at our darkest, in our dirtiest, and he is the one that brings cleansing. He is the one that brings healing to us. I promise you, he does. And that's such good news because we think, well, I'm just infected, I'm nasty, and I'm dirty. And Jesus says, yeah. So, who can help you? Jesus, have mercy on us. And that first blank, here's what you can put. God can help you. God. It is God who cleanses us. It is the blood of Jesus that washes us clean. Who can help us? God. Let me just tell you, there are things that only God can deal with. God is the only one who can wash away sin. It's because of Jesus that we've been washed clean. When we step into the place that he has for us, when we recognize he loves us, he made a way for us. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay the penalty for sin, to break the curse of sin, because that curse equals death. Jesus tasted death for us so that we don't have to. And even though our physical bodies waste away and we ultimately end up in a grave, it's not where we are forever because of what Jesus did. You got to know who can help you. It's Jesus who helps us. These 10 men, Jesus, standing at a distance because they're unclean. Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And Jesus does something. I've read this story a ton of times, but it just stood out to me. Jesus tells them to do something. In verse 14, this is what he says. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, to these 10 men, they probably thought that he was crazy. It was the priest who functioned as a physician in ancient Jewish society. In fact, if you had a little white spot on your nose or your fingers and you thought it might be leprosy, or you had some other skin, like rash or a bump, or you would go to the priest and he would tell you whether you were clean or unclean. And even though there was no cure for leprosy, everybody knew the protocol. If you thought that you had somehow been supernaturally, miraculously healed of leprosy, you were to go show yourself to the priest, and he would say whether or not you were healed after examining you and looking and make sure that you were completely clean. But if there was even one spot, even one little tiny dot of white that indicated that there was still infection, that there was death and dead skin there, you weren't clean. And these men who were at a distance, probably bandaged up, mutilated because the disease had ravaged them. Jesus, have mercy on us. And they're probably limping and crippled and their hands bandaged, their face bandaged. Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus tells them something crazy. You need to go to the priest. Go show yourself to him. And I'm sure that these 10 guys think, what are you talking about, man? Like, he was the one that deemed me unclean. Let me tell you, a lot of people feel that way about church. This is not true, but they feel like they're the ones that deemed me unclean. No. Let me tell you, we all have a disease that only Jesus can heal. But Jesus directs us back to the place where we know, where he knows that there's going to be a confirmation of what he has done inside of them. But they don't know it because all they see is the disease. Let me just tell you, you got to understand where you are. But you got to understand who can help you. It's not just God. Jesus directs them to a person. Others can help you as well. You want to get to the place of gratitude? Get outside of your own perspective and ask somebody to give you a fresh God perspective, because people can see more clearly your life and the goodness of God in it than you can. It's the mirror principle. But you cannot see your face. The things closest to you, your teeth. You ever get something caught in your teeth? Isn't that a bad feeling? Like you have somebody at the end of the day, like 4 hours past lunch, go, hey man, you got some green stuff, and you know that you had some parsley for lunch. Y'all ever have that happen? Or how about you walking around as light as a breeze, and then you realize, you know, because 2 hours later, you've been thinking, oh, life's wonderful and breezy, and somebody comes and says, hey man, your fly's undone. Y'all have done that, right? Here's the principle. You can't see the things that are closest to you. And Jesus directs them to go to the priest before they were ever healed. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. It is God that brings forgiveness and he brings wholeness, but he'll use other people to bring healing. You got to know who can help you. You've got to understand, where are you? I'm not in as bad of a place as I think, because right there, I'm at the border of God's place and my place. And when Jesus shows up and I call out to him, he brings healing. And Jesus says to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And then the rest of it says, as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. And that's an issue of faith. You got to have faith. You got to know that when you step out and you follow Christ, he meets you. Man, I want you to get to that place where you step out of bed and say, thank you. And it's sincere. But you've got to know where you are. You don't know where I am. I'm in a dark, bad place, and it wasn't even my fault. Okay, that may be true. But God has something great for you. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. You've got to know who can help you, God and other people. And here's the third thing. If you want to get to the place of gratitude, you've got to understand the principles of gratitude. They're very simple principles of gratitude. Three things. You have to be grateful for where you've been. You have to be grateful for where you've been. That does not mean that you are happy and glad about what happened to you, whether it was neglect, abuse. It does not mean that you're happy about that or the things that you've done that you know were stupid that caused severe pain to you and to other people. But you've got to understand the principle of being grateful for where you've been. Because Romans 8:28 rings true, so true with this principle. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And in the darkest moments of the past where we've stepped out in faith and we've followed the direction of Jesus and we said, Lord, I'm following what you say. Here's what we find, that he brings healing to us, and the dark areas of our lives turn into an area of light, that God will ultimately bring us back to the very place of darkness that we once were in, but we're no longer in. Y'all follow me on this, that we were once in, but we're no longer in, and he'll put us right next to the people who are in that same place. And that we'll say to them, we'll be that other to them that says, Jesus got something big for you. You may find yourself in the darkest place imaginable, but let me tell you, I know the way to light, and I know the way to life, and his name is Jesus. We've got to be grateful for where we've been. And we don't have, that doesn't mean that I'm so thankful that I was abused growing up. No, that's not what it means. It means that I know that God will turn that terrible, tragic, dark season of my life around for good to help bring people who are in that very place to a place of life and light. Isn't that cool? The principle of gratitude, I've got to be grateful for where I've been. The next principle is I've got to be grateful for what I have. I need to be grateful for what I have. I should look at life through the lens of God's faithfulness and goodness. And that you may not ever have everything that you want, but if you trust God, you will always have everything that you need. And that will be, listen to me carefully, that will be more than enough. It'll be more than there's a sense of fulfillment and gratitude and purpose and just knowing I'm all right with everything that I have, and I don't constantly need more and more and more. Are there wants that I have? Yeah, I want world peace, don't you? I want complete and utter racial reconciliation in our country and in the world. Man, those are things that I want. But I got to be okay. I got to understand that I should be grateful for what I have right now, because when you're grateful for what you have right now, God will give you more. But if you're ungrateful for what you already have, that good thing that you already have that you refuse to recognize, he's probably just going to take what you have away. That's why people end up at the place of misery. Be grateful for where you've been, for what you have. Here's the third thing. Be grateful for where you're headed. I say it all the time. It is not just a catchphrase. It is true. The best is yet to come, and you've got to know it. You've got to know that. Yeah, but you don't understand. Like, I'm facing the end here. I'm on my deathbed. Guess what? When you know Jesus, the best is yet to come. You don't understand where I am financially. I'm at the end of my rope financially. It's ruin ahead of me. Yeah, but let me just tell you, when you know Jesus, the best is yet to come. Jesus is the example of what happens when we let go of everything that's dear to us. He let go of his own life as the creator, but he was brought back to life, and now he gives it to all freely. And God does the same thing in us when we just say, Lord, I know where I'm going, and it's to the place of life, it's to the place of lightness, to the place, not just, and let me just tell you, so many people think that God is like, oh, God, I just want to come and be blessed. The bigger blessing is for you to come and give a blessing to God and to other people, because Jesus said, and it's so true, it's better to give than to receive, and there is no greater joy than to be able to give life to someone, but you got to have life first before you can give it. We gotta have it, man. I just so desperately just feel like this coming season for us is a season of life and hope and life. And not just for us. We gotta receive that first and we gotta walk in it first before we can ever hope to give that out. Does that make sense? And that's those principles of being grateful for where you've been, for what you have, for where you're headed. Gratitude is not about what you get, it's about what you're willing to give. Gratitude is not about what you get. Lord, I'm thankful for everything that I've been given. Yeah, no, we are. But gratitude truly is about what you're willing to give. Gratitude unlocks the door to God's blessing. Let me just say this. As obedience brings you to the place of miracles, gratitude keeps you there. Just as this man stepped out in obedience, it brought him to the place of a miracle, but it was gratitude that brought him to the place of being made whole and to the place of being cleansed. Gratitude is not about what you've received. It's about what you're willing to give. That's why generosity unlocks the door to wholeness. It's generosity. So here's my question to you. What are you willing to give to God? This man was rewarded because he came back and gave thanks. He simply came back to say thank you. Gratitude at its core will always result in a giving of something, and it begins with thanks. What are you willing to give today? I wrote that out and then wrote, well, I want to give thanks today. Everybody wants to give thanks. Can we do it sincerely? And so I just wrote for myself, there's no right answers. You can write what God puts on your heart. What are you willing to give? I wrote three things, and it's just been true with me for a long time, and I feel like God's calling me to a whole nother level in all three of these. I need to give him my time. I need to give him my talents. I need to give him my treasure. This is for Todd Schumacher. What is it that God's calling you to give? Let me just tell you, it is better to give than to receive. And when you step out and you just begin, here's where it starts. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Because you realize where you are. You realize who can help you. And you realize, man, I'm grateful for where I've been. Because God's turned it around and used me to be a light to others. I'm grateful for what I have because God is so good, and I'm grateful for where I'm headed. Let me just tell you, the natural outpouring of that is, man, I just want to be thankful. I want you to be sincerely and genuinely thankful and to look at life through the lens of God's truth. It's always positive. Especially in the darkness, it's always positive. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you say, Pastor, this message was for me. I feel like I've been in a dark season, but I really just believe that today God is speaking to me to come to his season of light. If that's you today, nobody's looking around, but you say, this message I know was for me. I feel like I've been in a dark season, but that God's calling me to that border place, that border between my way and his way, between light and dark. And today I know that as this message spoke to me, that it was God. And I'm responding and saying, God, I'm choosing your path of light. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, Pastor, this message, I know it was for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Go, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? We're going to pray right now. We're all going to pray out loud together. Can we do that? Just right where you are. Just let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And we're just going to call upon the Lord. Say, dear God, thank you that you know me. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that it is you who heals. It's you who cleanses. Today I cry out to you and I say, have mercy on me. I need you to speak. I'm listening. I choose you in your way. I turn from my sin. I turn to you and I'll follow you out of the darkness and into light. Thank you, you took my place on that cross. I choose you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can look up here. Man, the best is yet to come. If you prayed that prayer, I'm excited for you, because this I know, that God hears us when we cry out to him. And before Pastor Josh comes, and he'll give you an opportunity to click your binders closed. Before Pastor Josh comes, if you prayed that prayer, here's what I'm asking you. Fill out this card. Let us know right here where it says, I've decided, whether it's to follow Christ, renew your commitment, and be water baptized, or if you have a prayer request, write that out so that we can pray with you and we can connect you with people and resources. Is it a great day? Good. I'm going to pray for you. Then Pastor Josh will come up and we'll receive offering, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time together. I just pray a blessing on everyone here. May we honor you in all that we do. And may we truly be grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Thank you.
Amen. Can y'all give it for our pastor? This was the second time I've been in here. I'm making more notes on the side. That's an awesome message. I was reminded of something that actually our pastor, Pastor Jacob Aranz and Michelle used to talk about. And one of their disciplines and something that Kelly and I have adopted is just they would always, every night before they go to bed, grab each other's hand and just take a moment and thank God for what happened that day. And I just want to encourage you to, whether you're single or married, to make that a part of your life. If you want a next step coming out of here today, make gratefulness and being thankful part of life. It's amazing. It really is. Pastor Todd shared it, but it's amazing what gratitude and gratefulness and thankfulness will do and what it'll open up our life. So that's my challenge to you. Ushers, you guys can go ahead and come down. I want to thank you guys. As a church, we are able to do a lot of stuff because of your guys' giving. It is amazing. It is very humbling, honestly. And just to see what our church is able to do. So thank you guys so much. Ushers, you guys can go ahead and begin to take your tithes and offerings. And if you want to give online, you can do so as well online. If you may not check, you can go out to Church of the King. A couple quick things I want to let you know about coming up. First of all, there is no Grow today. In fact, we'll be taking the rest of the year off for Grow. So if you want to go to Grow today, you can't. But come in January, we'll be launching into that, and it will be a lot of fun. And then also in January, Pastor mentioned it, but we are starting our restart groups in January. And you don't have to be a great speaker. All you have to be able to do, honestly, is just be able to hang out and talk with folks and push play on a DVD player. And even I can do that on some really good days with a lot of coffee. And so we want everyone, honestly, man, invite the folks around you just to come over to your house and have a group. So on your way out today, stop by the table. It's the one right behind the where it says welcome home. Stop by the table there and let them know, hey, I want to host a group. And it'll be a whole lot of resources. It'll be a lot of fun and a real easy time. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and we're going to get on out of here. So I want you guys to go ahead and stand up. Who's still, like, working off Thanksgiving? Everybody's really tired today. It's kind of funny. I'm like, who needs more coffee? Who's lying? Most of you. Okay, all right. Let's really pray. Oh, man. Well, it's great to have you guys back. And we look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Father God, thank you. God, we just come today, Lord, as a family, as a church family. We say, God, thank you so much for what you did for us, the gift that you gave us in your Son for eternal life, for grace. And God, we thank you for this family that you've placed us in here at Church of the King. And God, I just bless this church, this family, this body. And God, I say, ask that you would go before us, watch over us, to keep us, to give us grace and peace, God, continually to draw us closer to you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,